Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Michael from San Diego.
Happy birthday to the cake takers, and my name is Michael, I'm alcoholic. Happy birthday to the cake taker, and welcome to the newcomers out there. Really, I'm from Steele, Missouri, but you could say I'm from San Diego because I've been here since January the 7th, 1977. Anyway, how it began for me, I was born and raised in Missouri, and I was brought up by my grandfather. My mother gave me away when I was 3 months old because she wasn't able to provide for me. So she gave me to her parents, and I was raised by her parents. And my grandmother, she got ran over when I was 5 years old, so my grandfather brought me and my sister up. And my grandfather drank a lot, and he always shared his bottles with me. I was around 5 and 6, and he would share his bottle with me, and he'd get drunk. And so that's how the alcohol started for me. It just kept progressing. And then I started working when I was 8 years old and shopping cars. And that's all we did where I'm from, a small town. And you bet your eye, you'd miss it. But anyway, I did a lot of farm work and chopping cotton, picking cotton, driving tractors, cotton picking and combine. And every day I just couldn't wait to get off work till I could get downtown with my buddies and we all get together and pitch in and get us a bottle of white pork and put Kool-Aid in it and shake it up. And so we all would get wasted and toasted every evening after we all got off work after doing those 10 hours. For a little or nothing, but that's neither here or there. Anyway, my father lived with my grandfather till I was 15 years old. He passed away, and by that time, the alcohol in me had already progressed so much till I was just a full-blown alcohol. I moved away to St. Louis to stay with my aunt, and I wouldn't listen to what they had to tell me because I was my own man then. I've been on my own all my life. You know, I was the only boy, and I was really spoiled rotten, and I always, you know. Anyway, my alcoholism was so bad, I had to go down on the corner in St. Louis, Missouri, to pitch in with the other winos just to get a drink early in the morning when the liquor store first opened. And I didn't like myself. I had a lot of fear in me, you know. My problem was I kept thinking that I was going to die young. I didn't want to die young without having fun. I wanted to be effed up, if you know what I mean. I was scared of dying. I saw so much death around me and nothing but alcoholics. You know, everybody drinking. I thought you had to be you wasn't a man if you didn't drink. And I thought I was a functional drunk. That's why I made mistakes. I thought I was functional. I thought I knew what I was doing, even though I would wake up every morning and throw up all over the place. Anyway, so I stayed there, and they got tired of me and told me, take your ass on to your mother's house, you know. I said, okay. So I went and moved to Michigan, and I stayed with my mother up there. I started back to school. I tried to stop drinking, and here we go again. I get involved. My stepdad on the pool hall. I'm hanging around the pool hall, and all my friends are coming down to shoot pool and bringing the balls and bags of dope, and I'm right there with them. You know, I don't want to be left out. You know, I'm already a good alcoholic in the first place. So that didn't work out for me. Me and my mother had a run around, and my cousin called me from St. Louis, said he was getting out of the service, and he was moving to California. So I told him I'll be right there. So I caught the bus. I caught the bus, and I met him in St. Louis, and we hit the freeway in his Volkswagen. And as we were leaving, we spent all the way around the freeway, you know, and took off. And so we ended up in San Diego, January the 7th, 1977. This is where I've been ever since. And lo and behold, what I come here for, I met better drugs when I got here. And all my relatives out here were alcoholics or dope addicts. And so they introduced me to this Sherm stick. I didn't know what that was. I never had none of that before. But man, so I was just, whoa, yeah, this is really good. Fucking amen. You know, so I got carried away and trying to function on Sharon Stick, driving around here and don't know where I'm going. I go downtown. I'm so fucked up. I go downtown. The girl called. I'm from the South, you know. You know, I'm really stupid. I'm from the South. The girl, I'm driving downtown. The girl hollered through the window, "Hey, you want a date? Huh? The women out here ask you for a date? Wow! Yes! I only got $2 to my name. $2. She said, I said, wait a minute, I'll be right there. I go, I get out my car, walk with her. She said, yeah, come on, I know this hotel around here. I said, I'm half drunk anyway, so we go to this hotel. I say, well, you go get a ride. I told you I ain't got it for $2. Oh, don't worry about it, I got it covered. So we go to this hotel on 4th Avenue down here in Broadway. And I say, we go get the hotel. This big heavyset guy, he takes my $2. He said, yeah, it'll be $2. I give him my $2. We go to the room. And the girl say, I start getting undressed. She said, what you doing? Where your money? I said, what money? You asked me for a date. She said, if you don't get out of here. So I say, forget it. You the one that asked me. I didn't ask you. This how dumb I am. And so I go back. I tell the guy sitting at the desk. I say, hey, man, give me my $2 back, please. And he told me, if you don't get out of here, I'll kill you. I said, whoa. After that, I knew what a date was. It was crazy. And then, so I'm steady hanging out with all the alcohol and dope dealers. And then here comes this other drug they call crack cocaine. Oh, Lord, you never want to do that. I mean, that's when I really got lost. I had a good job. I was functioning off the snorting cocaine and the weed and all that. But when I got to the crack, I couldn't hold down a job for nothing because every minute I was trying to chase that dream. And, I mean, that's the worst drug you could ever want to try. And that's when I really hit pay dirt. I kept going and going and going chasing that dream until I got so tired of going to jail, getting domestic violence charged. I couldn't finish the classes because I'm steady chasing the dream. And so I got fed up, told the judge, I said, Judge, I'm not going to finish the class. Won't you just give me the time and let's get it over with? So he gave me the time. He put me in jail, and I stayed in there 4 hours, and I was done. But it done took me 8 years to try and finish the classes. So I goes back out, and I'm living in ditches. I got homeless. I'm sleeping in ditches. I'm scared. I'm terrified of snakes. But when I'm drunk, I ain't terrified of nothing. So I'm sleeping in ditches. I'm dealing with all these different women over here, and I finally found a girl I like, and we both smoked dope. So, and she was scared I was going to get more than she did. And so we get to fighting about that, and she calls the police on me. And so I goes back to jail. I've had it. I said, well, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do with my life. So I goes before the court, and I told the judge, I asked the judge, I said, Judge, would you do me a favor? Please send me to prison. And damn it, that ain't what he did. He gave me 3 years penitentiary. And I went to penitentiary, and I did my 18 months on 3 years. I knew my ex-roommate I had, and I called him and asked him if he could bring me to a meeting when I got out of prison. And he got me out of the halfway house, and he brought me to Claremont Men, which is my home group. And that's where I've been ever since. And he said he wouldn't sponsor me because he knew me too well, which was true. So I asked someone there at that meeting to be my sponsor, and he took me through these 12 steps up here. And that's when I realized that I was powerless over alcohol, and believe me, those are the best steps any person in this room could ever go through. Anyway, I've been a steady follower for 12 years now. And this program gave me a life I never knew, I never could have imagined, because I should have been dead by right. I did a lot of dope selling, and I bought more dope than I sold. But anyway, it's a blessing that I'm here today, because I've had guns pulled on me by the people trying to rob me, take my dope from me, and I'm just grateful to have a power greater than myself, you know, that I can look up to. And there's no way I want to go back down that same road again. Today I'm able to live life on life turn. I've made all my amends. I ain't went back to the car dealership that I stole a car from and wouldn't pay for and took it to Arkansas. And they told me they didn't remember it. I said, well, okay. Anyway, I tried. I did try. Well, anyway, today, this program gave me my family back to me. I talk to my mother every week now. I call all my family every week, and we get along so well now. I go on vacations for a change instead of vacationing in the ditch. I mean, life is so good right now. I just can't believe I'm married, and my kids are grown, one in the service, one living in Texas, and I just say, this is what can happen to you newcomers if you just keep suiting up and showing up and do service work and go through these steps and get your sponsor. And believe me, your life will turn around 360. I am grateful to be here, and thank you so much.